Well, recently back on the MSU campus to talk about the importance of planning and urban development and to tout the value of his urban planning degree from Michigan State, we caught up with Scott Adams. Scott is the deputy city manager for the city of Las Vegas. He's responsible for myriad departments and planning roles in the city. Scott, a pleasure to have you on Greening of the Great Lakes.
It is my pleasure to be back on campus.
Let's start with providing a bit of an overview of your. You've got a lot of responsibilities in Vegas. Give our listeners a snapshot.
Well, I have a lot of departments under me, a lot of those that have to do with, you know, the revitalization of the city and driving the city forward from a visionary standpoint. Our economic development, redevelopment programs. I've been the lead executive handling a lot of our visioning, our new downtown master plan, our medical district plan, and a number of other initiatives. So kind of this chief strategist for the city, and it's been a lot of fun.
During your presentation, you mentioned that Vegas was hit pretty hard by the Great Recession, but things are really booming now. A few things that are going on in Vegas that our listeners may not be familiar with.
Well, I think we were right there with Detroit as ground zero for the foreclosure crisis, the economic recession, but you know, we're really making a rapid comeback. I think there's a couple of things we've been doing very consciously as a region and as a city. We've been very mindful of economic diversification. So there's been some things we've worked on, like facilitating the creation of a new medical school at UNLV and a few other things that will help round out our economy and soften the blow should we ever get to another recession again.
I was particularly interested in this new city hall because of all the sustainable and the green-related components of that, and I know that you had a major role to play in the development of city hall.
Well, the city hall project really started as an economic development piece. We really looked at a way to exchange property we owned on our Symphony Park development for a site that Forest City Enterprises owned in the core downtown to build City Hall on it. So we had this very creative partnership where we exchanged property. We didn't have to buy the site for the City Hall, and then Forest City built it for us. Then on the backside of that, we were able to get out of our old City Hall, which paved the way for Zappos.com to move their headquarters into downtown. And unbeknownst to us at the time, the CEO of Zappos.com, Tony Hsieh, invested another $350 million of his personal wealth into seed funding entrepreneurial startups, buying real estate, and really kickstarting one whole end of downtown. So it was one of those projects where the initial effort was very, very fruitful, and then it paid dividends downstream. The other big part of it is we've been very committed as a city to sustainability, and our City Hall project generates about 25% of its own power through solar, a rooftop array, a solar tree farm out front, and a solar array over the parking garage. It's a LEED Gold certified development, and just as a side note, the city of Las Vegas next year will be one of the few major cities in the world where its entire city government will be 100% driven by renewable energy supply. There are only a few cities in the world that can make that statement, and we've been very, very committed to that. We've used solar energy wherever we can as a city, at our sewage treatment plant, all of our parks, and a number of other facilities. And we've recently entered into new agreements with our major energy company to purchase renewable energy as our primary source of energy. So we're very committed to sustainability, and we'll continue going forward. It's part of the DNA at the city of Las Vegas.
How do you get developers to come online with some of the green initiatives when their initial response might be, it's too expensive, it's going to take too much time, we don't know how to do this?
Well, I think we've crossed over in America today to the point where looking at green buildings and sustainable buildings is now a matter of economic reality. I think developers and businesses, whether it's a build-to-suit for a business or it's a tenant-driven building, realize that it's a bottom-line thing now. It saves operating expenses and really makes a lot of sense going forward. So we're at a position where we really don't even have to incent sustainable development anymore. Developers are just teeing that up and doing that in a voluntary way.
Have you found that over the years, the different cities that I mentioned before, is that a change in perspective among developers? Has that been a gradual evolution? How's that unfolded where they're embracing sustainability and green building as part of, as you say, the DNA?
Well, I would have to say that it's probably more noticeable in Las Vegas than any of the other cities I've been in. Now, part of that's time, you know, that, you know, as time goes on, it's becoming an increasingly important issue with the development industry. But I think it also has to do with where we are in Las Vegas. We're at a major metropolitan area of 2.1 million people living in the high desert. And when you have that many people and that many tourists, we have 43 million tourists a year now that visit Las Vegas, converge into a city, you have to be very, very careful about how you use the resources, the limited resources you have. And we have some great upside opportunities for sustainability. We're one of the sunniest places in North America, and it creates an incredible opportunity for use of solar energy in everything we do. So, I mean, it's a combination of the climate that we exist in and the need for sustainability with the opportunity to drive some of our needs through the unique location that we exist in.
Scott, mobility, transportation. We're hearing a lot about what millennials want, how they want to travel, how they want to get around. You're doing some things in Las Vegas looking at all of this. We're talking autonomous vehicles. We're talking about, I own a Chevy Volt. You know, I have a car that is powered by battery. What's going on in Vegas with respect to mobility?
Well, we live in very dynamic times now in mobility. We're seeing a millennial generation that really doesn't like to own and drive cars. And we're in an area where we have a lot of tourists. So we're in an area where we're going to see, going forward over the next 10 to 20 years, rapid changes in how we move people around our region. We are embracing very aggressively the development of new light rail in the region to connect the airport to different places within the region. And we're looking at smart systems as it relates to electric vehicles and autonomous vehicles in terms of what do we have to do as a city to put in place the smart infrastructure that will really play into that new trend of self-driving vehicles and cars. I think there's some thoughts that down the road we might not even need traffic signals, we may not need parking garages, that people are really going to make fractional use of vehicles really just to get you to work and get you where you need to go, and they'll just drive around and pick you up and drop you off. So we're looking, we're visioning for that future. But at the same time, we're having to look hard at how we get around today. You know, we've seen all the transportation system companies, Uber, Lyft, come in an aggressive way into Las Vegas. They've been fully embraced. They really kind of stood the taxi cab industry on its ear, which has been a big industry in Las Vegas. So we are very much in dynamic times. We've had a couple major electric car manufacturers. One committed, Faraday Futures, to building cars in North Las Vegas. We've been entertained by a couple others. And then in another completely different arena, but it's Allied Technologies, Nevada and Southern Nevada is one of the six national test sites for unmanned aerial vehicles, drones. So drone technology is something else that's also being looked at. And the systems that you see apply in aerial technologies aren't much different than the systems that are in cars. So we think that all those things are converging to make Southern Nevada actually create another whole industry for the region that helps us down the road in economic diversification.
We've talked a lot of about all the positive dimensions of being in Southern Nevada and the weather, et cetera. Let's take one that's more problematic, and that's water. Increasing emphasis on water management, wise water management, wise water use. We talk about it a lot in the Great Lakes. I know you've got some issues related to water out there and the dearth of water. What's going on in Vegas with respect to water, and what are some solutions going forward?
Well, first of all, I need to dispel the myth that we're a water hog region. I mean, I think a lot of tourists will go to Las Vegas. They'll see some of the resorts like the fountains at the Bellagio and think, wow, they're just a wasteful water-using region. When in fact, the fact is we have one of the lowest rates of water use per capita in the United States. We are very frugal in the use of water. We have been pushing real hard to remove as much landscape material, traditional landscape material from the region as possible. We've had this trend through the years that everybody that moves to Las Vegas from the Midwest and from the Southeast, places where there's green, likes to bring that green with them. And we're trying to educate our citizens that isn't good for our region, and they really need to go to xeriscaping and different ways to manage their water use. So that's the first line of defense, is really making most efficient use of the water that we have. Beyond that, we have a major regional water authority that handles the needs of the region. They've been looking at a multi-pronged strategy that includes piping in water from groundwater sources in areas that have an abundant supply of water. And I think maybe that last strategy is probably going to be, you know, maybe partnerships with areas like Southern California and others in desalination. So it's going to be a multi-pronged strategy. It's one that does give us concern, but I don't think it's something that we're not going to overcome. I think there's the one great thing about our region is it's very entrepreneurial in spirit. One just needs to look up and down the strip to see that bold ideas and execution of those is something we do all the time. And so I think we're going to see some real satisfactory solutions brought to the issue of water supply. And that really is part of that total sustainable package of living in the high desert. And you know, when you combine that with energy and water, we really are a region that's committed to sustainability. It's very, very important going forward.
Well, you hit a theme that's recurred over and over again. As we look to the future of sustainability, this interface between water and energy is going to be paramount because it takes water to produce some of these alternative energies. So how does this become a win-win? And I think that's one of the big questions going forward.
Right, right. It's, you know, that's where I think we've looked at even the renewable energy industry is one of those economic clusters that we can focus on going forward as something to help diversify our economy. We have that unique environment that allows for those industries to really take off and flourish there, and so we see that as an area where we hopefully will develop research and technology that will help not just our region but other regions move forward with those same kind of issues.
Scott, I would be remiss, but you made some remarks in your presentation, which I thought were very compelling, and so did a lot of students in the audience, not only about how your career has unfolded, but the value of your education here at Michigan State and how that stood you in good stead over the years. Would you like to comment again on that? Because I'd like to capture some of that for our listeners.
Well, I have no problem doing that whatsoever, because I am a Spartan. I bleed green blood, true and true, all the way through. I can absolutely say without question that my degree in city planning at Michigan State has been absolutely fantastic for helping me throughout my career. It provided a great foundation for the work that I've done. And even further, I've had an opportunity to work with and have hired many Michigan State alumni of the planning program work for me through the years, and I found them to be the best of my employees. So I will tell you, the value of a degree in this program at Michigan State is unparalleled. I think it's one of the finest programs in the country, and it's something that this university can be proud of.
One thing you said in your presentation, which has sort of stayed with me, but you said you haven't really encountered a problem, a major issue in your career that wasn't somehow addressed in a classroom or on an internship back here at Michigan State.
Yeah, that's been the interesting thing, because I think, and you know, I've even looked at the curriculum today, and while it's moving technologically with the times, there's a lot of the basic things that I think a person needs to know are imparted on students when they come here. And I've had that experience throughout my career. I've been in certain situations where, for example, I do lots of economic analysis through the years of looking at regional economies and things, and then I always take myself back to my regional economics course that I had when I was at Michigan State. And I had some design courses here, and you know, I've told some of the students last night that even when you're in the city management end of it, you know, 40% to 50% of your work almost every day has something to do with the physical environment of a city and ties back to planning issues. So it gives you that fundamental basis to understand the issues that face cities. and hopefully the tools, and it has for me, needed to help address those a little bit better, I think, than other folks that might not have that educational background.
Well, he's not only committed to green urban planning, but he bleeds Michigan State University green as well, and it's been a pleasure having him on Greening of the Great Lakes. I've been talking with Scott Adams. Scott's the deputy city manager for the city of Las Vegas. Scott, a pleasure having you on the program.
It is my pleasure to be here.